Okay. That was almost a Charlton Live magic moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you think?
Which takes me very nicely.
Oh.
Tedious link.
Yeah, so I'm going to phase you lot down for a second. Yeah, Magic Moments, our series where we talk to personalities involved in the club, fans, players, former players, whatever. Yesterday, we were joined by Kevin Nolan, and this is Kevin's Magic Moment. It's a perler.
Magic Moments, well, you know, we're sport for choice as Charlton fans, obviously. I mean, clearly the 4-2 at Highbury, beating our... Chelsea down here, the same score, 4-2 on New Year's Day, was it, or something like that? And many, many others, but the one that stands out for me, and you'll have to go to Colin Cameron's wonderful book, and you'll find it in about 1952, I think. We were away to Sheffield United at the old three-sided Bramall Lane ground. And me and my mate Stan travelled up there on Lewis coaches, set off on Thursday and arrived just in time for the game, that sort of thing. You know, we were really yeoman in those days. I mean, Scotland, the Antarctic had nothing on us. And we arrived at Bramall Lane. It was a sort of meaningless game. First division, but a bit meaningless, I think, at that part of the season. We were already safe from relegation, whatever. But it meant everything to me and Stan, who, by the way, is in hale and hearty shape living in New Zealand at the moment and checks in on Charlton Live, checks in on all that, keeps up to date with it all. We were losing 1-0 to Sheffield United with, I don't know, 10... It's about 1952, I would say, if you're looking it up. About approximately 51, 52. We're 1-0 down to Sheffield United. There's about 7, 8, 6 minutes to go, and Gordon Hurst equalised. Good old Gordon. Now, a 1-1 draw at Sheffield United doesn't sound like much, but to me and Stan, it was gold dust, and we celebrated accordingly. Right, there was no away end, obviously, in those days, just a few of us there. And this bloke, and I was about 4 stone, right, dripping wet, you know, yeah, with my clothes on and everything, dripping wet after a rain shower. And he attacked me, and he was, you know, in his 40s, this bloke, and he started looking at me, like, and we closed in combat. I was a spirit little sod. I was doing what I could to stay alive.
Well,
boxing was another thing. Well, you know... there was no Marshall Queensbury rules involved here. This was just fighting for your life, you know. Yeah. And he was speaking in unintelligible terms. You know, and Stan stood by, and his only contribution was to pick up my programme when it dropped, right? And we've discussed this by email since, and his memory of it is totally different. He remembers wading in, right, separating us, saving me from a really watery grave at the hands of this Sheffield United supporter. I don't remember any of that. Stan advised him that I don't think you should be doing that, you know, and he weighed in very volubly and vocally on my and picked me programme up.
Good man.
And that is about as magic a moment as you're going to get from me, because the 1-1 draw, I used to last till the following Wednesday with a glow.
Yeah.
And drawing was sometimes as good as winning, because we were, as I say, 1-0 down, we're giving up hope, and Gordon slips through. Good old Gold, right? Slips it into their goal. I have my moment in the sun, and this bloke attacks me. That's out of order, Pete. Out of order.
Shocking.
Right? But there you are. I'm leaving.
Stan. Didn't rise to the occasion.
Well, he was, you know, teapots, chocolate, and all that spring to mind, don't they? You know. I haven't saved it. I've not got it now. I haven't got one programme from that era. Not one programme. They were a miserable. You know, he alleges that it was my programme. I can't believe that I spent threepence on a programme, but he says that he picked my programme up and then stepped in between us nobly and peace was restored. No, it wasn't, right? You know, I came out with my collar over my ear and all that, and, you know, I gave a fair account of myself, Terry. I mean, I stood up to this bloke, you know, although I think he'd have cleaned the floor of me if reason hadn't prevailed. But they don't get any more magical than that now, do they? You know?
Charlton Live.
Delivery for Stevens. Oh! Oh, would you believe it? It's gone all the way in. Dale Stevens, well, he's been causing havoc with his free kicks this evening, but he's just scored direct from a free kick from about 45 yards.
Live from the Valley.
Welcome back to Charlton Live on a Sunday evening. That was Kevin Nolan's magic moment. when we asked him, he said, yeah, I've got one straight away. You did wonder where we were going to end up with him.
Yeah. Well, you knew it was going to come out of left field, but you didn't quite know how far.
So, yes.
Are we encouraging listeners to give magic moments, by the way?
Yes. We've got... Well, we started last week with Chicago.
You'll forgive me, I wasn't here.
Chicago Addict started us off last week with a magic moment, which was an absolute pearler, which I think I might send the email over to Glove Pub, and we can probably put up a magic moment bit on the website.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it was bit of an emotional one, actually.
It was quite an emotional
one.
I think it was his coming to his game with his dad. Yeah, yeah. It was a really... it's on the Gmail.
I'll have a look.
It's worth it. It's a good read.
We talked about some of ours, didn't we?
We did. And so, magic moments. Magic moments, because you two haven't done your magic moments at all, have we? Because we did ours last week.
It's tough.
Mine changes week to be honest.
It is tough. I mean, the obvious one would be the first ever game.
Well, that would be your dad, wouldn't it?
With my dad. Yeah. But, and I think actually Karen, my daughter, might have tweeted it across when she knew it was happening. We sponsored the game here. For the 40th anniversary of my watching Charlton, we were playing the same team that I watched when
That's
I first
years
came
ago,
in.
Wasn't it, that, though?
Ish. Yeah. And unfortunately, my dad was not here to see it, so we sponsored the game in honour of my dad. And so that's up there, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'd have to give it some thought, actually. That it's going to take some beating, that 40th anniversary in my dad's memory.
I was a bit, because we were sort of going spur in a moment thing, I picked the Gaffer's last game for us when he scored his goal. Just
one.
Because how much it meant to him and everyone, because of how much he's loved here.
And Kevin Nolan may have sounded like he was taking a mickey a little bit when he says, as Charlton supporters, we've had many. I think we have, you know. The first game back at the Valley is up there amongst everybody.
Doing that march from Woolies. Yeah.
Someone said the game against Southampton, the 5-0 game, was a magic moment.
First game in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was quite good.
The 10th anniversary of the back at the Valley, I organised the march from Woolies then, and that was fairly special as well.
Yeah. And,
so it is tough, because there are many.
There are. I mean, especially if you've been supporting, if you're an old fellow like Terry. Yeah?
Like Kevin, you was going to say. Then I'll tell him.
No, like
said
Terry,
that.
You would have more. I mean, I've only got, you know, because I'm much younger than you, obviously.
Clearly,
I've got less to. Talking of young, Gladpup, do you know anything?
I've got two.
You've got two.
I've got two. One of them for me would have to be against Liverpool when Lisby got his hat trick. For me,
actually, yes. Yeah, I've got to say, because the journey home from that, and I'll explain in a second. Yeah,
that was a memorable moment, because you could see the joy in him, and the first senior hat trick for him, and something I remember. But a little bit closer to home would have to be for me my first ever away game as a Charlton fan.
Sheffield Wednesday.
When that free kick went in Johnny Jackson.
Listen, mate,
lucky. Jumping all over Ollie Groom, bless him, who was with me, like his celebration.
We barely got out of that stage
because we were in the press box surrounded by the. But actually, that was quite magic because all we'd had.
That was a turning point for that season.
But
for
all
me.
We'd had since we'd arrived at that ground all day was how they were going to do us.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite shocked that was your first away game.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a homeboy.
After that, recovered.
I think as well, it's not always the obvious ones, is it? It's like Terry's saying, you've got that personal moment that's like that special moment that you're never going to forget for personal reasons, not necessarily.
I think for me, it's game standing on the East Terrace halfway up with my brother, it was like a dad to me, because my dad wasn't around. My dad died when I was really small, so I didn't know him. But so my big brother would bring me to games, and I'd stand on the East Terrace, and those days were magic. And he always buy me a bag of monkey nuts, give me a program, and buy me some, you know, if just, and give me a couple of bob to nip round to the program stall at the back of the main stand, because you used to be at the wall before you were born.
Yeah, I know.
And you used to be able to walk around the back. Hey, you wouldn't use the toilets around the back of the West End, though, would you? Yeah, maybe similar to the ones that Barnsley have got now, and the home end.
if we're looking at taking the same tack as Kevin Nolan, I remember vividly going to Millwall once And the guy I went with didn't want to stand with the rest of the home. Didn't want to stand with the singers, as it were.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting you could buy a ticket for the seats.
You could, yeah. It was how much? There was an extra.
Oh, I can't remember now.
It was about 50 pence.
It wasn't that.
It was shillings in your day.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah. Farthings.
Farthings.
Was
so
that a bike?
Never
mind. Penny farthing, yeah. That was.
Yeah. We ended up in the seats, and then. When it became clear, when it
loosely
became clear,
described as well, seats, yeah. Come on.
When it became clear we were jumpers, there was a few in front of us, and it was never full, but there was a few in front of us, and it was one kid, and he could have only been about 12, and I was probably about 17 or 18 at the time. And when he realised we were Charlton supporters, he took off his prosthetic arm and threatened to beat us up with it. That was a moment.
Oh, brilliant. Could you imagine getting assaulted by someone?
He just took off his arm and just tried to come at us with it. Unfortunately, his granddad there managed to restrain
him.
You
go, hand it to him. Ah, thank you. Have we got any tweets?
Yeah, we have. We got one that I think is a little bit harsh, but Ben Hamer.
Yeah, and he's copied Ben into that one.
Yeah.
McNulty, yeah. We don't want that sort of
no.
thing.
No, so I'm leaving that one alone.
Yeah,
you've got to be good to get on there. All right, yeah. So our own Louis.
How'd you get in?
I think. I slipped the net.
Yeah.
It was a big hole. So Louis Mendes for Dale Stevens, 35-yard measuring tapes.
That's good. Quite good. Yeah.
The one I quite liked from Tom.
I'm worried. I've not seen this.
Danny Green, climate controls, very hot and cold.
Yeah.
one for Jan, but we've already said this one ourselves, which came from Robert Addison, which is head bandages.
Wait, sorry, couldn't he actually advertise ibuprofen painkillers?
Could do.
To be honest, I think for Jan, rather than the obvious bandage, I think painkillers for Jan. To be honest, what do you think? No, don't ask. Susie,
right, okay.
She'll said that's not fair.
It's not fair.
My boys.
See?
My lovely boys.
Right, and then Luis Mendez has come back with another one. Jan Kermigant could advertise chips. French fries?
No, possibly.
Is it a chip? The penalty?
Oh, maybe.
Ah, I see what
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
I immediately thought French fries.
Yeah, no, he chipped for a laugh. Yeah. I'm having that.
Specifically Leicester chips.
I'm still thinking of the winner at the moment is Johnny Jackson, just for me.
They talked about him today in the Leicester game.
Oh,
yeah.
What did they say?
They was talking about the fact that... there was another player playing. I don't know whether he was playing for Leeds or Leicester, but he'd missed the penalty.
Knockout, yeah, he missed in the playoff. And
the fact that he still plays for them, and the fact that Jan had missed and was hated by them.
I think it's because Jan chipped for a laugh. Whereas,
but they didn't mention anything about the fact that he's been absolutely amazing.
No, they wouldn't. They're not here.
Sky
enough.
Don't like us, do they?
Well, Dickie Davis does.
Dickie does.
Did you get any sandwiches?
No.
His
contact left.
His contact on the back of the East.
The one he was chatting up.
All right.
So he's got to chat somebody else up now.
Oh, I'll have to put him in touch with my mum.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Dickie in touch with your mum. You can't leave Dickie alone with the ladies. Not a good move.
He's all right.
No, he's good at it. What he does, he used to organise sandwiches.
Half time, he used to disappear and come back
with a buffet trace for this lot up on the East End doing the
commentary. And I said that to Tony Cotty once.
Yeah.
Didn't find it amusing at all.
Did he not?
No.
What you said?
Listen, Tony. I said you got some living up to do. I think you always arrange your sandwiches for half time. Now I won't go through the exact words he used. Suffice to say,
one of them was no.
He
was
no.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah. I think it was Nottingham Forest last year. We're sitting in a press room, and Tony Cotty and I were discussing. We had a half hour discussion. Forget the game. We were discussing the pies, and the standard of the Balti pies and the meat and potato pies at Nottingham Forest.
All the important things.
Yeah. All right, I think, should we take another little, have another little interlude? Simon Cross. What can I say about Simon Cross?
He's still a lot about Simon.
Yeah, no, he's a broadcaster. Started out as a, he lived in America, but he'll explain. Quite late coming to Charlton in his life, compared with other people. He wasn't brought up as a Charlton fan. And he'll explain. But it's a fascinating interview. It's in two parts, and we'll play the second part next week. So this week is more about his love of Charlton. And his involvement with Charlton. Next week we'll actually look at his broadcast career, which is absolutely fascinating as well. But here's Simon Cross.
I'm a Charlton fan, a long-suffering Charlton fan, with some great highs, a few lows along the way. But a bit, I can't bluff my way through this chat, Peter, without confessing that I was a bit of a latecomer to Charlton. Not until I was about 20. A lot of people fall in love with this club when they're growing up, even when they're at school, when they're teenagers at least. But now I got into Charlton because of a great bit of marketing in the early 80s when I went to the University of Greenwich.
Yeah.
It wasn't called that then. It was called something, you know, I was too dumb to go to a proper university.
I know exactly where you went. So, same place as me.
They gave vouchers out for £1 for students to come and watch Charlton, £1 a game, which was a great deal.
It's just a fantastic deal.
Four of us. And here's, you've got four kids from around the country. I grew up in America and then spent some time in Bristol. And then here landed up in southeast London with a whole bunch of, with a guy from Brighton, a guy from Zimbabwe and a guy from Wales. We all took this offer for £1 to go and see a football match. And from those four people, this is what good marketing did. Mm. From those four people, two of us, they're still proper Charlton fans.
Yeah.
One guy's moved back to Zimbabwe, but Charlton, he'd say that Charlton is his club. I don't think he's a regular.
No. he may be a listener, though.
And one guy is Charlton's his sort of other team. So from that, you know, from those vouchers came, you know, two real diehards and a couple of supporters as well. So, yeah, that was about 80, early 80, 81, 82. It was a team. The first game I seem to remember seeing was Charlton salvaged. This will sound familiar to everybody listening. Salvaged a 1-1 home draw with Les Berry scoring the equaliser late in the game. And I found myself jumping up and punching the air for a team I'd never seen before. I thought there's something about this that I love. Mm. And I supported Charlton throughout that £1 year. And then sort of support turned into love within a couple of years.
It creeps
really
up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah. In my early 20s, within a couple of years, I was proper. I couldn't miss a game, home, away, everywhere.
Really?
Pre-season friendlies, yeah. I was one of those.
And then you ended up as a journalist, and you've been just about everywhere, really, haven't you, as a journalist?
Yeah, yeah. You would be correct to say that, yeah. Lots of Olympic Games, Winter Games. I do the commentary for BBC for the ice hockey at the Winter Games and produced several sort of Olympics in the summer. I haven't counted them up, but I must have done 3 or 4 World Cups and the same amount of Euros, 8 or 9 Super Bowls, Wimbledon for about 15 years. So, yeah, it's taken me around the world, some interesting places to wear your Charlton hat. And, yeah, that's always something I try and do when I'm abroad, especially. I probably don't wear any Charlton memorabilia or any sort of Charlton merchandise when I'm sort of around SE3. But you put me in Boston, and I'm all over Charlton. I'm breaking out the Charlton gear in a big way.
Yeah.
When I'm abroad.
Excellent.
You just love those moments, and it does happen when somebody else goes, "Hey, a Charlton."
A Charlton fan. Yeah.
Another Charlton fan. You find these Charlton fans, and I remember wearing my Charlton. I was in Moscow, Russia, in Red Square, with Mark Bright.
Yeah.
He's talking about minuscule parts of Charlton history.
Another part. No, he's a big part in the 1998 playoff final.
Yeah, yeah. He started it, didn't he?
Didn't last it. His legs, bless him.
Most of us didn't last it, you know.
No, that was hard. That was a hard watch. I don't know what it was like for the players, but it was really hard.
I commentated on that game. I'll tell you about that in a moment.
Yeah.
In Red Square in Russia with Mark Bright, who, by the way, as an individual, he was bartering with those guys who sell Russian hats.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He bartered for what seemed like hours. It was probably only about 20 minutes, but he bartered this guy down to virtually nothing in terms of American dollars for this Russian hat, and then said, "No, I don't really want it, mate. I just wanted to barter with him." But anyway, I was wearing a Charlton hat in Red Square, so even in Red Square, a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, Charlton." And he was a Charlton fan too,
so you
find him everywhere, which is great.
Yeah, I tend to travelling to games, and I always tend to find people sitting nearby and Charlton fans, and you end up talking about it for hours, and you can discuss and reminisce. Your favourite player, because your terms of reference are slightly. Mm. I mean, I'll go back to Derek Hales, Colin Powell, Mike Flanagan in the 70s, and you're probably getting the end of Colin Powell and the end of Derek Hales. But
I'm second spell Derek Hales, really.
Second spell Derek Hales, yeah.
So my first Charlton team, and the one that I still do, is the Nicky Johns, Les Berry, Alan McDonald on loan from QPR, Steve Gritt, Kevin Smith in midfield, Carl Harris, Steve White.
Yeah, good career.
But my favourite of that lot was I used to really love Martin Robinson.
Yep.
He was a great player, and I was always so upset when he was sub.
Very quiet, shy man.
Yeah, he was such a good player, though, such a great touch and so much skill, but one of those sort of typical skill players that sometimes when you're in a fight, they're the ones that get left out. I used to like him a lot. And Alan Stevenson, brief spell of Alan Simonson was just really sort of misguided, but sort of great.
We've interviewed Alan Simonson. He was in here earlier last season. And Martin Robinson, his claim to fame on Charlton Live, was the first man to swear live on air on our show.
Really?
Yeah. He sat right where you're sitting and let one slip.
Well, I like him even more now.
But he's a chef now. But he's a very quiet fellow. And he said in the interview that he could have been much better had he been a bit more assertive.
Maybe. And I bet as a chef, he's a really good chef that sometimes has to cook dishes he doesn't like.
Yeah. Sure he does. Yeah, don't they all? So that's the team you're growing up. So you're a Charlton fan, we've established that, and you've lived through the high, and you commentated on the 98 playoff final. What's that like? Because as a commentator, commentating on your team, it's hard work, isn't it? Because you have to try and keep your emotions in check, and it can be really tough when it's your team that are...
Exactly, and we failed completely. We failed completely to keep our emotions in check during the game. And I don't remember, I've never heard it back, and I'd probably hate to hear it back, but people do still, it's actually in the, there's a new football museum in Manchester.
Yeah.
And they've got, it's actually in there, the commentary.
Is it?
Yeah, because luckily it was on BBC London.
Yeah.
GLR, I think it was called. GLR. I was sports editor there for quite a few years. Pete Stevens worked for me then and is now doing great stuff down there as sort of looking after the sport of BBC Radio London now to this day. And I think he was our pitch side reporter on the day. And it was on BBC London, so we didn't have to worry about being impartial.
Being impartial,
and we weren't going to be impartial because the commentary team. Pete Stevens was our pitch side reporter, real great London. I don't think he's a Charlton fan, but he's a Londoner and he loves his club. Garth Crooks and Carl Lieben were our two summarisers.
Yeah, there's no bias there whatsoever.
And I was a commentator.
Yeah.
And the game was an amazing roller coaster, wasn't it?
It was,
and it went up this way and it went that, and so did our emotions. And we were down in the dumps when Charlton were down, and we were back on a high when Mundonka scored again and when Richard Rufus popped that one in. And then the bit of commentary that people keep on telling me about, and I think it's out there somewhere, and is the penalty, the save.
The Sasha Radic save.
Because we didn't commentate.
Yeah.
We forgot we were on the radio. And I said something like, here comes Gray to take the penalty kick. And then to get all together, something just clicked between us. Me, Lieben, Crooks and Stevens all just went, miss, miss.
Really?
Miss. Yeah! And there was no commentary.
Yeah.
There was four guys shouting like fans for him to miss. It was a save, wasn't it?
But it was a save. But there's also the other, because there was Charlton's, carried on the Charlton website as well, was Millennium Radio down the road, Mark Mansfield's commentary.
I know Mark from years back.
And with Colin Powell.
Right.
And
they must have been about the same.
Mark Mansfield went potty and he handed over to Colin Powell to summarise, and Colin was choking and said, I can't talk, you have to carry on. And it's just the hairs on. And so I'll have to have a listen to yours, because I was there, so I didn't actually hear the radio commentary at all.
Yeah, well,
until we heard the Mark Mansfield clips.
Mark Mansfield, a great Charlton fan, and I worked with him way, way back. We were like that. We just couldn't commentate, and we were just fans.
Yeah.
Time out. I haven't heard it back, and I'm not especially proud of it, because it wasn't professional.
Yeah,
it was just blokes shouting on the radio. Time Out magazine called it commentary for the 21st century. I'm not sure. I think that was a good thing. I'm not sure.
So, I'm intrigued. How did you get into the commentary side of things? And because you've commentated for GLR, BBC Five Live, and all sorts of places.
Yeah, I used to be a music radio DJ.
Yeah. Was that heavy rock by any chance?
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah, over in Canada. Back here a bit, but pretty soon being a music DJ is really boring, because you're just playing songs by other people. You're not really doing much yourself. As long as you can remember your name, tell the time, maybe read a weather report, there's nothing creative about it. So I wanted to do some speech radio, and the easiest thing to talk about seemed to be football and Charlton. So I did lots of Charlton commentaries in the early days over the old Radio Thamesmead, as it was called, MRTM.
Good grief, yeah, I was there when it was Channel L.
Is it still going?
No, it turned into Millennium, and then it became Time, and then the owners lost the licence, sold out.
Did the Charlton game, was it called the full members' cup.
The full members' cup final, 1987, yeah. Blackburn Rovers.
And it shows how you romanticise things, because I seem to think of us winning that.
No, just, we lost.
We lost. Colin Hendry scored, didn't he? Yeah. Colin Hendry scored. They won 1-0.
Yeah, I think it was 1-0.
I commentated on it, but it just seemed like a celebration of being Charlton that day, because I travelled up from this way and we kind of owned Wembley that day. It seemed like our event somehow.
I think after the... Because we were at Sellers Park at the time, so we were in sort of in our exile period, and we'd had that tough... They'd had the... Almost going into going bust, and then the move to Sellers Park. So to get to Wembley a couple of years after all that happened was a major thing. I think
it was. Was Ralph Milne playing in that game? I think remember Ralph
yeah,
Milne.
Ralph Milne.
The pitch at Wembley was a little bit large for him. Two burgers, Milne. But that was the end of my sort of a great phase of being a Charlton fan, which started in the early 80s with that team that were kind of struggling. And there's this game. That again, it's how you sort of remember things. I remember us being 2-0 down, but I think I might have that wrong. The end of the 83-84 season, I think it was, that we had a home game, the last game of the season against Bolton.
Yeah.
And this is when this is when there was no turning back. I was a student who knew where I'd go next.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew which football club I'd flip-flop to.
Well, what city you'd be living
in,
yeah.
I knew I'd always followed Charlton, but this is when I knew that there was no turning back. The fixture list, I'm probably romanticising this, Peter, a bit, but in my memory, this fixture list came to Charlton against Bolton at the Valley on the last day of the season in beautiful sunshine, and the loser went down, and the winner stayed up. And I think a draw didn't do Charlton very many favours anyway. And we were 1-0 down, and Ian Moore's former Stoke player scored for Bolton Wanderers. And we were going down. Pretty much at half-time, I seemed to think we were going down.
Yeah.
We were sitting on the old terrace on steps and thinking we're going down here. Now, you will get people emailing and tweeting saying that that guy Cross doesn't know what he's talking about. It didn't go like this. But this is how it goes in my mind, okay? We're 1-0 down, we're relegated. Second half, Steve Gritt comes on for Kevin Smith. And we start to turn things around. And I remember Carl Harris scoring a goal. And I remember Steve Gritt maybe scoring a goal. And then maybe Steve White scored a goal. I seem to remember us winning 3-2, having been 2-0 down. I had a quick search before I came in here. We actually won 4-1 after being 1-0 down. So that's already I know I'm slightly bending the truth here.
Yeah.
But that day in the sun with the other guys who had paid their £1 vouchers to be Charlton fans. And that was just a magic day, sort of... against all odds, battling for survival, and that's the day that Charlton it was injected into my DNA. There was no turning back after that.
I think, I mean, I used to, as a kid growing up, my brothers, I've got two brothers, older brothers, one's a Man United fan, so he's an armchair merchant, and the other one's a Charlton fan, and he would come to every home game, but I would come, on one Saturday I'd come to Charlton with my brother, and the other Saturday I'd go to West Ham, and eventually... Charlton just took over, and it just creeps up on you, and suddenly, before you know it, and I think once we went to Sellers Park, that's for me when it sort of kicked in. That
really,
yeah.
I found it hard in those days. I went all the time,
yeah,
but I found it hard.
It was a hard journey.
I refused to do West Ham, Upton Park.
I
couldn't. That was it. Sellers Park was bad enough.
But crossing the river.
But we were successful there, you see.
Yeah, we were very... Yeah, we got promoted.
We got promoted there.
Absolutely against the odds. Lenny Lawrence had built such a really good side and improved that side. And I think Lenny felt towards the end that everything was being sacrificed to get the club back to the Valley.
Which is true.
And was the right thing as far as I'm concerned.
Me too. And we were successful there. I must have been commentating on the vital game. And again, I think Steve Gritt was a key... figure in that match, or certainly matches around that promotion drive, coming on late as sub and sort of driving the team on. It was Jim Melrose and John Pearson, the strikers, I seem to remember.
Yeah, John Pearson.
We seem to have most of Sheffield Wednesday's team in our team.
Yeah, John Pearson now works as he does hospitality. He does it at Sheffield Wednesday. When we went to Hillsborough, the League One Champions season, when we won 1-0. John was. I managed to interview John. He was. He was hosting a box there. Laurie Madden.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sheffield Wednesday connections, isn't there? We mentioned Mark Bright. You just mentioned
Mark
Laurie Madden.
Laurie Madden. Yeah, Peter Shurtliff.
And Bob Boulder. Have I got that wrong?
Bob Boulder played for Sheffield Wednesday as well. Yeah. So and Gordon Watson.
Gordon Watson
went to Sheffield Wednesday.
Wagstar. United?
No, I got that wrong. No, Waggy's gone to Bristol City now.
I should know that, being a Bristol boy.
Yeah, he's just signed for Bristol City.
So there's a good, there's a big connection.
But there is
there.
A good connection.
And we were successful at Selhurst Park, which kind of took the edge off being there. Although, Peter, do you remember that? We're talking about good times as a Charlton fan. Bad times, and I've already mentioned...
Are we talking about the fog-bound game, perhaps?
No, I'm talking about... Now, again, your tweeters, or maybe you, can fill in the gaps here, but we had a kit mix-up at Selhurst Park in one of the games, and we had to wear Palace's away kit. Mm. So not only were we Charlton playing at Selhurst Park, we were wearing... There's two things in football. People talk about tradition all the time, don't they?
And rivalries.
And things come and go. Managers come and go. Boards come and go. Players, obviously, come and go. The two things... There's only really two traditions in football.
Yeah.
And that is the shirt.
The shirt.
And the ground.
Yeah.
And that's really pertinent for Charlton fans.
Yeah.
Because
more
than any club in the country, our ground is more important. Because of what we went through.
Yeah. I think we've got Brighton and Wimbledon possibly could imagine how we feel, because Brighton had to play at Gillingham at one stage, and Wimbledon still aren't playing in Wimbledon. They're playing in Kingston.
I still think that's nothing compared to what we had to go
through. No, it isn't. They don't have to. The physical journey as a Charlton fan living in South East London to get to Selhurst Park was either a 54, a 75 bus, and then another bus, or a 122. A horrible journey on the buses, or go up to London Bridge, then get a train down to Selhurst Park.
Oh.
Horrible. But we have to, having to wear.
Can we end now? I'm too depressed.
But having to play in
Upton Park was awful.
Yeah, he didn't like.
I don't think I ever went.
You didn't
to Upton Park. I think I missed that year.
I found it difficult, that one, because it was across the river.
I don't remember what happened that year. What happened?
We missed out on the playoffs. We were in the playoff positions, but we sold Robert Lee to Newcastle, who was second, and we were chasing them at the time, and that really.
Yeah, but that money was useful coming back here, wasn't it?
It was used to come back here, to pay the rent for Upton Park, which enabled us to come back.
Wow. What a story we've got, you know? So, yeah, Upton Park, awful. Wearing Crystal Palace's kit while playing at their ground.
Yeah, that was awful. Hurts. But Palace weren't always that big a rival until we went to Selhurst Park.
I don't think of them as rivals, although I loved putting them down a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was brilliant. But
yeah, wasn't it?
For me, Palace were a big rival because I put up with some of the rubbish that happened at Selhurst Park to Charlton fans and staff, and it wasn't pleasant.
But who are our rivals,
Millwall,
really?
Millwall are our rivals, but I think we also... enjoy the rivalry of Palace, and sending them down with Jonathan Fortune's header in the last few minutes was
I did that
when
then.
Simon Jordan lost the plot somewhat in the director's box a little bit, so, and then we went and signed the manager. Good move.
I don't know, it could have been
agent Dowie. Yeah.
No, you see, I see on the Dowie thing, this is not going to endear me to you or many Charlton fans. Could have been okay. On paper, it didn't look terrible.
I've said on Charlton Live that I think things were beginning to turn round. The form was starting to get there, and when we made the change.
And it's a big what if, but what if he'd had the whole season?
Yeah, what if, yeah.
You know, mind you, having said that, he hasn't gone on great things, has he? It's not like he left Charlton.
I think he's not been responsible, but he's taken over clubs as caretaker, and he's pretty much taken them down as well. So he hasn't got bounce back ability, I think's the word, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's now a pundit on Sky News more than anything. And,
but that was just that season when we bounced from manager to manager. And even fans were struggling to remember who their manager was that week.
Les Reed. Too nice, Les.
Yeah. You wonder, had Dowie been given the patience that, thank God, Chris Powell was given, that, you know, that we've now got a situation where Chris Powell came in and was not clearly given time to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, clearly, because I think he came in. What did he come in around Christmas time?
February came in. The takeover happened just over the New Year, and after the Swindon game, Phil Parkinson was sacked. And then we had a few weeks with Keith Peacock.
Yeah.
Managed. And his first game as manager, after he'd been made manager, but he sat in the stands, was Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. The connections keep coming. And then Chris Powell took over, and he won his first four games. I remember his first press conference, he won the first game he took over, and he walked in and he said, "It doesn't get any better than this, I resign." That was his opening line. And then the Dagenham and Redbridge game was when he realised he needed to... And he went to the board and said, "Look, there's too many players don't want to be here," and that's when he had the mass clear out, and then the mass buy-in of all, you know, these players came in for the legal, and they gelled so quickly. But he's had time.
I'm definitely a Chris Powell man, and loved him here as a player, And I'm just really glad that there's some patience involved now.
Charlton Live. Live, laugh, and be happy.
That's Simon Cross. He's got some memories there, Terry. Some of the names there where you were coming out, you were enjoying that, weren't you?
Well, yeah, especially
the Welsh Wizard.
Carl Harris, Welsh Wizard, and, yeah. And Steve Kevin Grit Smith. Coming up with Kevin Smith and Steve White.
Yeah.
Who was a good player. We got him in from Luton, I think, in a Part X deal that... It might have been that saw Walsh and Elliot go the other way.
Yeah, David Pleat spotted those two and his talents and signed them up.
But I'd forgotten that game till you mentioned it, though. That's interesting.
Everyone thinks Kids for Quid was a big marketing and target 10,000, but clearly, even in those early 80s days, we were trying things.
Yeah, I don't remember ever getting in for a pound.
That's students. Yeah, so I think it was possibly the local students, hey? Works on tax budget. Glove Pup, we tweeted something controversial, didn't we? Explain.
Uh-huh.
Explain.
Well, I was just trying to think of something topical to talk about. I think it's all kicked off a little bit.
It has now. You're trying to persuade. Explain what you've suggested.
Well,
why,
I should.
Why?
Why? Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. It's become a bit of Cardiff City had to do a bit of a kit change, obviously, recently.
Yeah, that's a kit change, yeah.
Fans didn't take that to that too well. And then Hull City this week have announced their a slight name change. So I said...
Hull City Tigers, aren't they?
Yeah, I said, for next season, but though they're changed... anyway. So I suggested...
Hypothetical.
Some people get a right strap
on
about it.
Hold on. Yeah. If investment came in the same manner,
yes,
from a consortium that was from another land,
yes,
they may well have the same desires.
Exactly.
Who's like the people that made Cardiff start.
Can we not be talking about desires on a Sunday night, please? It's been a long weekend. Anyway, where were we?
So, So the first one that came in was from Mark Cooper. Charlton Town Football Club, and then Marion said that, you know, I wouldn't change it, but I said, you're missing the point, you've got to play the game. So she came back with Charlton Champions perhaps, but then that's not, you know, it's not really relevant.
That's asking for trouble, I think. Charlton Champions.
And then Louis Mendes said nothing, to which Rich Strayslax replied with what, AFC nothing or nothing FC. But Louis then came up with nothing Tigers.
I think Louis's come up with a better one. Eyeball Paul FC. Yeah, since. I'm quite liking that one.
I saw that one.
Have you eyeball Paul?
Yeah. I told you, Michael Moss is now my favourite player. And then Terry's daughter, Karen, Sir Chrissy Powers, Red and White Army.
They're not getting this, are they?
They're not.
It's Charlton something, isn't it?
Colby.
Let's go to Sue's first. Yeah.
I've just Charlton Cougars.
Hold on.
I'd leave it there.
Stop there.
I was thinking, this is going to sound too sensible now. Hull FC want to call themselves Hull Tigers because Tigers their crest. So it's got to be the Charlton Swords, isn't it? Or the Charlton Daggers? I don't know.
Not the Daggers, that's Dagenham.
Exactly.
Mm. Charlton Swords.
The Charlton Swords.
Quite like that one.
Charlton Cutlasses.
Charlton C6. Sword of Charlton something.
Sword of Damocles.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I like my one.
Well, you would. Yeah,
yeah, you would, because it's yours. Right.
I think we might attract a whole different fan base.
Yes. Yeah.
The ladies.
Can you check the tweets?
Hold on. Philip Mark started on such a high at the beginning of the show, and has just forever rollercoaster downwards.
Well, no, he's just revealed his true self.
It's probably the gin.
Charlton Coconuts FC.
On what basis?
I have no idea.
It might be what he's wearing.
C? Maybe.
Yeah.
Terry can't remember getting in for a pound, but maybe he could for a few shillings.
Hey!
Hey! From Lumen.
And getting into the ground. I'm here all day.
Cool, getting quite a few tweets. Stray Slacks, Rich again. Keep the name, but add an E on the end to make a sound all Aldi Weldy. That would attract American investment.
Charlton Athletic.
Ye old Charlton Athletic.
And Louis says Charlton Cougars would be the women's veterans team.
Hey. Mm. Who said this?
Louis.
Who woke him up?
I don't know. I think he was asleep.
He's obviously having a night on his own. He's having a night on his own this evening. Yeah, he's having a night on his own this evening, clearly.
Wish he was still sulking.
Yeah.
And Laura says, ooh, Susie. I think it's more like, ooh, Susie.
I'm looking forward to the kit.
Off the Cougars.
The Cougars.
Oh, that is a design. Someone needs to design a kit for Charlton Cougars.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind this. Is this the, hold on, is this Charlton Cougars as in Charlton Athletic, or is this the women's, veterans women team?
Well, who knows?
No,
who, and who cares?
That kit needs to be designed carefully with a Charlton veterans women team, doesn't it, really?
No, I'm not going with the women's team. I think it should be the boys.
You won't go with the girls, you'd rather go with the boys?
Yes.
Okay, just want to clear that one up. Right.
Hence Cougars.
Yes, I think Louis got that right. Charlton Cougars would be the veterans team.
Yeah, they would.
I think Louis got that. Yeah, I like that one. The Charlton Cougars.
I like the Charlton Sword one.
Well, I mean, that's you'd think that would be why. Or they'd call it, I don't know.
It's not going to happen because, you know.
What else is
relevant? Does it not
to
have
the,
to be
to
some sort of animal? Like when you think of the American teams and stuff. Like,
New
I know
York
not
Giants,
necessarily
New
the
York
soccer,
Giants,
team,
Chicago,
the soccer
Charlton,
teams, but
Charlton.
Some
Charlton
of the other
Bulls,
teams.
Tampa
you have
Bay
like
Rowdies,
the Carolina Panthers and
Buccaneers.
Charlton Panthers, yeah,
Buccaneers,
things like.
You're thinking of something else.
See, we had no. That was a holiday.
That's another joke.
Charlton Canes.
$10. But there was. I mean, because we had the New England team in. We had to tie up with the New England team, and we had, in the 70s when Colin Powell and Flash Flanagan went over and joined, and I think Keith Peacock as
well.
Well,
to be fair, we've now got to tie up with the New York Red Bulls, means most of our team has ended
what
up.
What about the Charlton Ravens?
Charlton Bulls.
Charlton Ravens.
Ravens.
Oh. I'm just looking at the American teams, yeah, give us some idea.
Cubs.
The Charlton Packers.
I don't like the sound of that at all. That's got all sorts of connotations that I don't even want to discuss.
We said Charlton Panthers, didn't we?
Yeah.
Charlton Haddocks is just Laura's.
Which one? Yeah, the Cowboys, yeah.
Charlton Cowboys.
Charlton Haddocks.
Charlton. No, can't have that one. Because Saints at Southampton, can't have that one.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, yeah, the Charlton Eagles. That'd go down well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd go down like a.
Chiefs.
Charlton Chiefs, that sort of. Yeah. If we could tie up with the Kansas City. The Kaiser Chiefs in South Africa. Do a tie in with them.
Charlton Raiders.
Charlton Raiders
round
here.
Chargers.
Bin Raiders.
Pete Burrows is back in again. Have you seen him when the sandwiches are in that press room? Man alive.
I'm looking at the baseball teams now.
That'd be Cubs.
Charlton Dodgers.
Charlton Cubs.
Jamie
yeah.
Dodgers. That's if you get a.
Yankees.
Charlton Reds.
Charlton Yankees.
Or Charlton Athletics.
How about the Charlton Valiants? Yeah.
It's relevant.
It is. I like that. He's got athletic.
Charlton. Astros. I like that.
Anyway, I think I'm looking at the time now. We could.
Charlton Haddocks, says Laura.
We've got a choice. We can go on for another 10 minutes because we missed 10 minutes or so. Or
Charlton Redskins.
Will you shut up?
Yeah, it depends if we can shut a glove pipe up on.
Did anyone else have any of their magic moments?
No, we can do another one next week.
Oh, okay.
We'll do another magic moment next week. And yes, I've got one lined up, so. But so far we've had Chicago edit Kevin Nolan, Carl Leeburn as Charlton Valley Rowdies, Michael County.
Charlton Valley Rowdies.
I'm liking that one, the Charlton Valley Rowdies.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but
sounds
like
a country and western song.
It does sound like it's a line dance.
Let's go Rowdies. Yeehaw! Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go Rowdies. Let's go. Let's get into
the. So who's going to be the cheerleader?
Yeah.
Charlton Valiant, says Stray Slacks.
Yeah, the Valiants is. Yeah, that's
not a bad one.
Yeah.
Marion says they all sound awful. Can't change it.
She's got a point.
She has got a point.
But if we did get
it's
owners
just
like
fun.
That,
it's
though,
not serious. Yeah, don't.
How
start
distraught?
A rumor.
How distraught would you be? I would be. I think if they wanted to change the name, I'd be
gutted.
I'd be gutted.
I think I'd stand the council to stop it.
Can I do anything?
Of course, there's nothing you can do if someone comes in. If someone comes in and buys the club and does that. And calls us.
Be the same as if, like, we've caught a lot. We've said about Cardiff, and someone comes in and says they want to start making us play in blue and red stripes.
Coventry City
have a choice.
In the 70s tried to change their name because of their sponsors, and I think it was Talbot.
Talbot, yeah.
And
because they're sponsored by the motor company.
Motor company, and Talbot was an awful motor company, and they took over. They sponsored Coventry City.
Wow, they made some.
And
cars.
They had a kit to go with it as well. There was a brown.
They had the
was
Talbot
that the brown
tea,
kit?
Didn't they?
The Talbot tea. It was the Talbot tea kit. Yeah. Yeah, it was hideous. We have to find that. I think
they
Google.
Talked
the
about brown it. Kit.
Marcos just made a suggestion.
Go on.
He said he can't hear us because he's currently in a Greek bar, but surely we'll be renamed Charlton Heston FC.
Ooh. Oh, I see. Yeah.
We did that.
Charlton Heston FC.
He's upset me now he's in a Greek bar.
Oh, you were there. You was in Lesbos the other week. You're back there. You've been back. Only back.
I should have brought one of my niece's dummies with me.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Let's turn our attention to next Saturday. Next Saturday. So next game. There's no game in the midweek.
Bond.
And this is like, it's like for the last 4 or 5 weeks, it's been for me. It's Susie, my chauffeur, who's sitting opposite me. Susie's taking me just about every pre-season game. Susie Cabs. It's been sort of midweek, Sunday, Saturday, midweek, Saturday. And the last week before the season started, there was a game Saturday at Inverness. Then there was a game on Sunday at Ebbsfleet, and then we had a game Tuesday. So we've got a whole week where there's no game. I've got plenty to do, though.
To build for Barnsley.
But Barnsley. 6-0 last year.
You're not going to top that, are you?
They're bottom of the league currently.
So we're on the same points.
Yeah, nil. But they're -5 goal difference.
What are we... first of all, though, I mean, I am assuming that Jacko will give this calf a couple of weeks to rest and get it fit.
I've said so.
So what midfield are you starting with? And your suggestions are studio@charltonlive.co.uk or email or tweet us at charltonlive or any other means. What do you think for the starting lineup? And what formation? Do we go 4-5-1? Do we go 3-5-2, which was played in pre-season a lot?
I think the 4-5-1 worked for us last season away from home. So I wouldn't be opposed to that.
And do you make any wholesale changes, or do you bring Simon Church in for Marvin Sordo, as you said?
It might be enforced, because if you're saying Yam was as badly injured as he might have been coming out of the game yesterday, they might want to rest him as well. So then, can Churchy play on his own up front?
I think Yan being Yan will.
But if Yan's not fit, it will force us to play slightly differently, won't it? Because we won't be able to. We won't have that ball winner at the top.
That doesn't always seem to stop us.
Remember the Oxford game though, with just Church. Up there, or admittedly, he wasn't necessarily on his own, but we played through. We didn't lump balls up to him at all. We were very patient, and I'd like to see us do that. Really, and
I'd like to see us do that.
Then
you'd like to see Dale start.
You might see Dale Seam start. Hughesy might figure as well.
Yep.
Dan Holland's on the bench.
I wouldn't touch the defence too much, would you?
No.
Dorian's done well.
Yeah.
I think the success of our defence has been the fact that it has been fairly consistent.
I don't want to try. It's two games. There are 44 games to go yet. It's two. It's a marathon. We're not even out of the starting blocks yet. Nobody's out of the starting blocks. The gun's just fired, really, isn't it?
My next home game, because I'm not here for the next couple, because I've got weddings, will be the big one. 21st September.
That's not a big one.
We're not looking far. Does that mean we're not going to see
Millwall,
you? Does that mean we're not going to see you for a month?
Not a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Ish. Yeah, I might pop in and do a show, but not for a while.
If you're invited.
Well, that's true. You know you love me.
I think it's obviously going to be tougher than last season at Barnsley, because they're going to remember that and they're still going to be hurting from that, so they're not going to let us get
away. They're probably pretty fired up for it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that'll be.
But great. I'm agreeing with you. I reckon 4-5-1 away. Let's try and overload that midfield.
Let's get a point.
Let's show that we can play. Yeah, we can play the ball because we got the skillful players in there. I mean, based on the second half performance, I would bring in Dale. And give him a run.
He does score from 35 yards.
He does. But
Dale.
I can't believe it was. What was it in the first half? The crowd shouted shoot, and he did. I can't remember who it was, and it just went wherever it went.
That was
Gower.
Yeah. So,
they did that to Leon Coulton against Oxford. And the same result, pretty much.
Yeah, Leon Coulton and Cedric Arena had some fairly extravagant efforts.
If Cedric hadn't had a shot, then Churchy wouldn't have got his second, would he?
No, but I like to see Churchy given a go at some stuff.
If he's fit enough, I think he's the sort of mobile forward that could carry a lone striker role up front.
Interestingly, Joe Piggott was on the bench yesterday as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Joe, but... maybe not.
Think he's only there because we're still waiting to sign another striker?
No, I don't think
he's there in his own right.
I think the gaffer's looking for a wide player now, to be honest. and possibly a keeper, because we've only got Nicky Pope and Ben Hayward, and then it's Dylan Phillips. So I'm pretty sure, I would think that there'll be a keeper.
Not heard any rumours or anything, have you? I've not really heard anything.
You hear all sorts of rumours, you just ignore them.
Yeah.
Really? Unless it's on the official site. I think we touched on it last week, but I'm sure Terry wanted to have a word. And Paul, Matt Wright was here yesterday doing the handover. Uh-huh. It's his last involvement at the Valley.
Yeah, and sad times.
Monday. Very sad. Very sad.
I mean, without Matt, I'm sure we can all agree, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, and he's been a great asset for us. He's helped us out many a night and many a day and arranged, you know, like the things we get to do at the ground for, you know, playing against the press team and that. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be doing half the stuff.
I do fancy our chances in the next season, though, now.
Well, yeah. Now Matt's not there. That's it. It's a different team, isn't it?
You can get him as we could get him as guest for our team.
I'm sure I'm not the first, and I doubt I'll be the last to publicly thank Matt for what he's done. Yeah. Not just for us, because obviously he was a contributory factor to us being here at all. But to the club as well, because we know he put in the shifts.
You get emails from him at like 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, man, he'd
be here at the Valley. He'd be here at the Valley till God knows, not goodness knows what times. I had phone calls at 11:30 at night from him. Pete, I get a text or an email saying, "Are you still up?" And he's like, yeah, and he'll call me, and it's the number is the Valley.
He'll be sadly missed.
Yeah, very sadly missed. And Gaffer said goodbye to him yesterday, and he was in the tunnel area. Must have been strange for Matt, and his wife's going to see a bit of him for a change.
Yeah. She'll be ringing us up. You couldn't take him back.
Take him back. Take him back.
She'll be on Twitter saying, for goodness sake, please, someone get him out from under my hair. But big thanks to Matt, and I'm sure Dave would echo, and everybody else, and Gadget, and everyone in the team. It's a big loss to the club, and certainly for Charlton Rock.
Look where the programme is now. I mean, it's probably one of the best programmes.
It's changing.
It's
changing the programme. It's going into a slightly larger publication, apparently. Yeah,
didn't they try changing it before?
No. They've changed it over the years. It's always changed. But it was very good. The handbook was out yesterday, which was terrific.
Oh, it's fab. I love the handbook.
It's a commentator's dream, that one. Oh, Mark Newbury. Is that the Mark Newbury one again? Is he got another one?
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, well,
wake up, Pete.
Oh, it's Magic Moments.
Oh, Magic Moments.
Being picky, but mine, it's mine, which talked about the match with my dad. I think we've got an email from Mark about that, and we can
play that out another time.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is we're not going to do them all in one night. It's not
a good match. We're
going to do it over the season, so we'll do that. So, what's coming up this week? So Friday night, Meridian Radio, Charlton Live, is back, free to air. We'll look back at the disaster that was Middlesbrough
yesterday,
and we'll play some nice music, have a chat. Jim Wagg will have Louis' ticket news, which is always a joy. And then we'll look ahead, and we'll have an opposition fan on the phone, because we had our first opposition fan on the phone Friday night from Billy Morton from Middlesbrough. It was
except
quite
he
good.
Wasn't from Middlesbrough.
Well, yeah, he was, but he lives in London. But he was quite good.
He was really good, wasn't
he? So we'll have a Barnsley fan on, hopefully on Friday evening. And then Saturday night, 6 o'clock on Meridian Radio, it's Charlton Live CAFC Trust show with Jason Morgan as our interview subject, presented by Ollie Groom. And we'll be back here at 7 o'clock, hopefully.
If
TalkSport don't get in the way. I don't want to mention the radio station, but I think I might have given you a clue.
Just don't mention TalkSport now.
Don't mention TalkSport.
Who?
TalkSport.
Yeah. Who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think that's it for tonight. Thanks very much to Susie.
Thank you.
And have all the Maltesers gone?
Yeah, I ate them.
Yeah, she's done well with them, hasn't she? Glove Pup making a rare Sunday night appearance, but I think we'll see you a bit more now, won't we? Because you
No Saturday show.
No Saturday show. We might get you on the Thursday
and
show.
And he's got no more stag days.
Yeah, I can.
To.
Yeah,
got a few weddings. We won't see him now. Yeah,
got three weddings that start next week in a row.
And of course, good to have the great old man, the Charlton Life, back from his retirement week in Bournemouth. Harwich for the continent, Bournemouth for the incontinent.
He's born next, isn't it?
You can tell he's been out in the sun, can't you?
It's a sunbed, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've all done very well.
Thanks very much, and thanks for sticking with us when things weren't quite going right at the start of the show. It was a combination of things, and we got there in the end. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for your tweets, emails, messages, and everything else. And we'll see you again next Sunday at 7 o'clock, hopefully, and we can talk about a home win.
An away win.
An away win. Yeah, that's what we're after. Thanks very much. Good night.
Good night.
Charlton Live. Forever addicted.